方，sotto rasi tarabo sandarabo. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Take strength from me. I am your strength. Take courage from me. I am your courage, your hope, your healer, your rewarder. That's me. The enemy will concoct devious plans against you, to assault you, to batter you. From all different sides and for many different devious reasons, you're not your strength, but I am. So do not fear the attack of the enemy. It is not your fight to win. He's already been defeated. You are free today to receive all the strength, all the courage, all the hope, all that you need from me. Allow me to be your victory also. You're not alone in this. Allow me to be your victory. Sotorasi terebo sandara. Sondorobo sandara. Thank you, Father. Why don't we just do that for a moment and receive His grace as our strength today? It really is an act of humility to receive your strength from Him. Receive your plans from Him. Receive your hope from Him. So, Father, your grace is our strength. We receive it today. Thank you, Father. There's not one battle that any person is in that they are on their own. That they have to use their own strength or their own wisdom. Thank you, Father. We refuse to make our own way. Only your way. Thank you for. Sotorasi terebo sotorobo kosandara. When the sun sets, I'm still here. I'm always here. When the sun comes up, I've always been here. So in those times when you felt alone, those times you felt abandoned, the overwhelming emotions, I'm there. I'm here. I'm with you. I've never left. We can walk through this. We can walk through this. You and I. And when you're asleep, I'll be there. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Shondorasi tere basi tara. Now I hear him say, thank you. Thank you for putting your life into my hands. Thank you for trusting me. And when everything spoke to you and said, this can't be God, you didn't run. You stayed with me. Oh, I have wonderful things for us to do. Thank you for trusting me with your life, with your steps. What I can do when I have a partner who will allow me to guide their steps. So many lives will be changed and touched. Thank you for trusting me. Thank you for walking with me. Thank you for not taking your own path. When you feel like it's over, just remember that it's not. Look back. And look at all the many, 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 many times. All the victories. Look at all the many, many times that I stood there with you. So why would I not be here tomorrow? It's not over. It's not over. Thank you, Father. Just at this moment, will you, with me, let's reaffirm our life in His hands, our willingness to follow Him wherever He leads us. He doesn't always have to lead us into happy places, that we'll follow wherever He leads us, because we're His. We belong to Him. That we're willing to give up everything and all things to follow Him. That we don't have authority in our life, only He does. Father, I give you my steps. My life is in your hands. I have no direction without you. I'm lost without you. Without your strength, I am weak. Without your courage, I am hollow. Without your hope, I'm hopeless. There is no meaning to my life except in you. You are my life. You're the reason I live. So I trust you with my future, with my family, with my calling, with my dreams. I trust you. And I won't strive for what I want. I'll rest. I rest in you, Father. Thank you for that. There's a feeling tonight, a feeling, like a gas tank being filled up. And that's what's here tonight. Isn't it amazing with God that you don't have to be smart? You don't have to be strong. Don't have to be courageous or wise. Just only one thing: humble. Humble. And from Him, you'll get all the wisdom you need. All the courage, all the strength. Thank you, Father. Let's just take a moment and I'll let Laura lead us in a song. I don't want to stop what God's doing right now. So just take a moment, and Lord, just lead us. And from your heart, just spend a few moments in worship, Father. Thank you. Isn't God good? I said, isn't God good? The body of Christ, that's His body. Scripture says the head of the body is who? Jesus. He's the head. The head's where all the direction comes from, and the body is the vessel of the head. You know, you can cut off an arm, but with the head there, you're okay. Cut off a leg and the head's still there. Jesus is the head of the body. The body is His vessel. You are part of the body of Christ. You're in there somewhere. Religion will try to get you not to like your part of the body for most people. But it's a lie. It's your part. It was made for you. That's where you fit when God places you there or releases you into your place in the body. So all of us have different places, different jobs in the body. Not all are the same. Each part is just as important. The head of the body is not the pastor or the apostle. Those are the separate parts of the body. The head of the body is Jesus. And I say that because I know what He wants me to do tonight. He wants me to remind us that even though your job in the body is different than someone else's, we know it's not less important than someone else's. Because you are born into His family, it also means that all of heaven, all of the power of heaven, all the miracle working power of heaven, all of the courage and strength of heaven is yours. Even though your job may be different in the body, you have access to all the power of heaven. And it's like He wants me to remind us meaning myself too, to believe for His power every day of my life, no matter where I'm at. And God's power is defined for you and for me as the power to change things. Not just miracles for blind eyes and deaf ears, but the power to change things. If my friend over here in the back needs a miracle of finances, that does me no good to say, oh, the power of God's here to heal. Well, I'm not sick. But that's God's power to heal the sick. Well, I'm not sick. My friend over here is sick, and I have the power for finances and say, God's going to provide for you. My checkbook's full. My wallet is fat. But I got a heart problem that needs to be healed. See, God's power is to change things in people's lives. Let's look in Romans chapter 10 real quick. Romans chapter 10. You can keep playing, Laura. That sounds good. Romans chapter 10. We'll start in verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness of the law. The man who does them shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. For what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, if there's any ever doubt about salvation, this is what this is addressing. That the way you got saved is really simple. You believed in your heart and you spoke with your mouth. This is the prayer of faith. And it purchased, well, it didn't purchase, it expressed your belief and your humility in receiving what the blood of Jesus purchased for you, salvation. Can you say amen? Verse 9, if you confess with your heart or with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, we take many of our principles of faith from this verse. The principles of confessing and believing and speaking. We take the principles from this verse and some other verses. But the heart of this verse, the foundation of this verse, is that confession from your mouth and believing in your heart gave you salvation. It was you accepting what Jesus did for you, being born into his family. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let's go over to Hebrews. Chapter 10. We'll start in verse 36. Here he is talking to a group who are trying to be pulled back into religion, pulled back under legalism to walk into their salvation. And he tells this group, for you have, verse 36, need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he is coming, he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe in the saving of the soul. How many have been born again? That word soul there is not your emotional makeup. It is you. It is your life being that has been saved. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe, say believe, in the saving of the soul. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And I know that sometimes, you know, good preaching, we put a comma there, like, now faith. Like, it's like a now faith. You know, that's just good preaching, but that's not proper grammar there, I don't think. Now faith. Like, it's right now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This verse at the heart is talking about your salvation. But now faith is the substance. You don't think you're saved because someone says you're not, because you're not doing the Jewish law, maybe because you're fighting something in your flesh that you struggle with and you say, I don't know if I'm saved. Here he says, now faith is the substance. That's the faith. It's the substance you need. And the evidence of things not seen. And then he goes on to talk about how the elders obtained a good testimony. Now, come with me over to the book of Mark. Chapter 16. We'll start in verse 14. This is the Great Commission. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table and rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Now stop right there. Look at me. Here he says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Here he says, he who believes, say believes, and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Verse 17, and these signs will follow those who believe. Now, these signs will follow those who believe. Now there will be those who believe and are baptized and they shall be saved. And those who don't believe will be condemned. Say believe. So those who believe and are baptized, they shall be saved. Oh, you're a good class today. But those who don't believe, they will be condemned. So in that verse, in that moment, he's saying those who get saved because they believe, they shall be saved. But those who don't accept Jesus and don't humble themselves, they will be condemned. Can you agree with that interpretation? So the word believe here, believing, is not how you believe in the moment. It's how you believed to be born into God's family. What I've watched many, many people, including myself, struggle with when we are facing circumstances, when we are standing for a miracle, if you ask most people, what are you believing for? Well, I'm believing for my healing. Okay. How are you believing for your healing? Well, I'm just believing things will change. Okay, here's what I'm trying to get to. If I look at where I'm at, what I need, my answer used to be, I am believing for something. Like, I don't have enough belief in me, so I'm filling it up. And when I fill up my belief pot to overflowing, then I'll believe enough to receive, because I'm believing. I'm in the process of brewing a pot of belief. And I'm filling it up. I'm filling it up, Lord. But look at what it says in verse 17. These signs will follow those who believe. You know, if you look in your little margin, it should say, have believed. The proper word for this is not believing in the moment. I pray and I don't. How do I say this? I'm believing for signs and wonders, but nothing happens. I guess I need to fill up my belief pot some more so that I can get access to signs and wonders. Let's read it again. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, by no means hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. The believing that's required in verse 17 for signs and wonders, you don't have to gain it. If you're born again, you already have it. You don't have to grow it. If you're born again, you already have it. If you don't believe, if you don't know that you already have everything to walk in power, then there's a chance you will constantly strive to obtain something that Jesus already gave you. The way to the power of God for you, because the power of God is available to those who have believed, every part of the body, no matter what you're facing, your family's facing, your friends are facing. You want your friends calling you not because you're a preacher, but because you are a believer. My mom, she drags me around to all her sick friends. When I go visit her, especially in Arizona, because that's where at summertime, all the snowbirds get together. You know, there's a lot of sick people. You know, they got a park of a couple thousand people that all converge down in the wintertime down in Yuma, Arizona. And they kind of have accepted sickness as part of their language when you're, you know, when you got a bunch of them. I mean, people are dying all the time in the park. They're finding them in the swimming pool. They're finding them in the walkway. You know, and they say, oh, so-and-so went on. So when I go visit my mom, she drags me around. This is my son. He's the preacher. He's going to pray for you. You're going to get healed. And we'll spend a whole day going park house to house to house. My mom dragging me around. It's part of being in the body that we need to accept that you're to express the power of God to those around you, because it's what we do. It's part of being in the body. It's part of being a child of God. And I know I'm fighting with a couple words here. And it may not seem important, but I think it is important. Most believers who believe in the power of God will never experience the power of God. They'll talk about the power of God. They will talk about believing God for great miracles. They'll talk about it. But if you look at the church today, you'll find that most of us have not experienced it. This verse means not that when you arrive at a place of believing, you will see signs and wonders. When you arrive there, when you have filled up your believing pot, and you have prayed up your believing pot, and confessed up your believing pot, and poured into your believing pot, and when that pot is full of belief, then you can expect the miracles to show up. And so we feel that, all right, nothing's happening, so I have to wait. I have to wait until I fill up my pot of believing. Now, I understand the mechanics of faith, the principles of faith that we've taken out of these verses. Confession and praying and all those things. Yes, they're all accurate. But the heart of what he's saying here is, what qualifies you for signs and wonders today is that you believed in salvation. And if you believed in salvation, then right now, today, you can have miracles in your life. Signs and wonders. Casting out devils. Laying hands on the sick. Well, maybe one day. You can wait. And maybe one day. But I watched too many maybe one days last more than one day. Last a lifetime. Verse 17. And these signs will follow those who believe or have believed. In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I think that too many of us have laid down the operation of God's power, waiting for the day we believe that it will show up. And I want to encourage you tonight that you already, if you believed for salvation, now are qualified to walk in His power. Don't wait. Expect miracles. Don't wait for it to come from the pulpit. Expect God's power. The revival we're after is not a pulpit revival. It's a body revival. It comes through His children. What are you facing today? What are people around you facing? You already believe. That's why you're born again. So if I pray for someone, if I pray for someone and nothing happens, why is that? I mean, we can say technically it's unbelief. But it's not that deep. Because if you're born again, you believed. The same place that born again comes from, miracles come from. I watch whole movements trying to get heaven to come down, believing for something to happen. Everything that needed to happen has already happened. When I began to quit judging people so hardly, I'd see one person and say, "Wow, that guy, he's just a jerk. You know, that girl, she's just a hussy." I remember we had Bible college and we had all these little young men and young women coming to Bible school, and we had a dress code and different standards. And this one girl came in, and she's very pretty, but her skirt was way too high and her blouse was way too low. And during praise and worship, all the little first year boys were worshiping God, trying not to look, you know. And I remember having to talk to her, and I said, "Sweetheart, you know, in the handbook it says, you know, the handbook you read and agreed to, is that you would dress nice. You would dress up." And she looked me right in the eyes and said, "I did." And see, she wasn't a hussy. Do you know that the moment you're born into the family of God, that you're as perfect as God is perfect? Well, that was a good place to say amen right there. I'll have to try that again. Maybe I'll preach over on the faith side over here. The moment you're born into God's family, that you're as perfect as God is perfect. Amen. That you're as pure as God is pure. Now, I can tell that many of you are having a hard time to grasping that. And that's the part that you're not believing. You're not believing the right part. Instead of believing for the miracles to come, we should be believing in who Jesus made us. Amen. Which is where we get the authority to believe for the miracles to come. Well, I think that if you really knew me, you'd know just how unperfect I am. See, that little girl, you would find out that she was broken in her emotions. So broken in her flesh that she felt ugly even though she was pretty. She felt unattractive even though she was attractive. She felt so unwanted that every day, instinctively, not on purpose, she would dress in a way that she could get some boy somewhere to snap their head at her and go, whew. And if she got one a day, she felt attractive for that day. The next morning she woke up, and she did not feel attractive. Where does that brokenness lie? Is it in her spirit, man, or is it in her flesh? And most believers never see themselves past their flesh. See, righteousness is a gift that God gave you. The ability to be perfect in His presence while you're still struggling with your flesh. Holiness is how much authority you take over your flesh. I didn't say you were holy, I said you were perfect. Adam, the child of God, the son of God, was as perfect as God was perfect in the image of God, was as pure as God was pure, looked at God straight in the eye, talked to Him, and did not feel ashamed or cow down or feel inferior. He was a son. He He was a child. He was made of the same material that God was made of. Do you know that when you were born again, it wasn't a repair? You didn't go into a repair shop? They take you apart, put in a few parts, and put it all back together, and you come out a patched up doll. No. He didn't fix you. He birthed you. And because you believed, you were born into his family. And born in righteousness. A creature that only began the moment you humbled yourself and asked him into your heart. So when you stand before him, he sees righteousness and purity. I used to judge the little hussy. Think, well, she's just a hussy. She's out to get our boys. But when I realized who she became when she accepted Jesus, that the brokenness, the messed upness was not built by God. Was built by the flesh. Let me read this again to you. In Mark, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. How many here you believed and are saved? Hold your hand up really high. You're born into his family. How are you going to get more perfect? How are you going to get more perfect than what God made you? You can't. Well, when I get perfect, then I'll be able to believe God for things. No, what qualifies you to believe is not the moment of believing. If I believe enough, then God will come and do this. No. Is that I believe that Jesus paid a price, sacrificed, and by his blood I am now a child of God. And that's where the authority to move and change things come from. The guy who's a jerk, say, that guy's a jerk. He is on purposely hurting people, on purposely doing things. Then you find out the brokenness of their fleshly soul, the damage that's done in childhood. Will tell him every day that he needs to take care of himself. You ever get around someone who's a jerk? That's a biblical word somewhere, I'm sure. They have no problem taking from you. They don't have no problem winning an argument. They have no problem bullying you. You ever been around a Christian like that? You ever get your hand slapped by a Christian jerk? And I would think, well, that guy's a jerk. But you know that when that guy got born again, the new man inside of him longs for holiness, longs for purity, longs for love and kindness and gentleness. But the flesh man is so broken that he only sees his life through his eyes of his flesh. If we can mortify that flesh, the real man would come out. Am I preaching okay? Let's go back over to Romans chapter 10, verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Stop looking at yourself by your flesh. Don't be silly and just think, oh, it's just my flesh. Put up with it. No, you have to mortify that sucker. You have to mortify it in its deeds and its passions. I'm not preaching today, don't worry about your flesh. But I am preaching today, who you really are is not your flesh. Amen. So stop looking at your flesh as who you are. Stop expecting things to happen because you have mortified your flesh. Start expecting things to happen because you believed into salvation and what gives you the right to accept the power of God in your life has nothing to do with your flesh, but everything to do with who you are, his child. You are not a repaired human. You're not a cyborg human. You're not an evolved human. The moment you were born again, that human nature was taken out of you. The only thing human on you now is your flesh, and that will fall off of you one day too. Look at yourself the way God looks at you. Can you imagine when the writer of Hebrews said, come boldly into the throne room of God. Can you imagine? That's probably why he didn't put his name on it. Because they'd probably go kill him just for writing that. It's like, yeah, I found this letter out here. Can you imagine the audacity, he's a heretic, how insulting that was to write that, to come boldly into God's presence, no protocol, no disclaimers, no come boldly into his presence after. Do this first. When all in the Old Testament, all the rules of the Holy of Holies, all the rules that everyone had to follow for generation after generation just to come close to the Holy of Holies, and someone says, you, go boldly into his presence. Run past the outer courts. Don't even, knock over everything. Doesn't matter. Get into the Holy of Holies. And here we are waiting to worship God timidly because we struggle with our flesh. Waiting for something to happen after. If you're born into his family, that's the only requirement needed to believe God. Holiness is your gift to him. The mortification of your flesh is what we are. That's our job. It's my flesh. I wish I didn't have my flesh. For some of you, I wish I had your flesh. For some of you, I'm glad I don't have your flesh. But it's my flesh. I'm stuck with it. But it's not me. God rescued me out of Alan and put me in a whole new creature that was born the day I believed. And that's the day. Whew, what an amazing thing we have. I'm not a sorry creature. I am a child of God with a sorry flesh that I have to put to death, who tries to tell me who I am, who tries to steer me with passions and desires, who tries to overcome me and say, this is who you are. Stop living through your flesh. If you have believed, expect miracles. Expect it. If you believe, if you say I'm standing or believing for a change in my life, you're not trying to fill up your belief pot, okay? It's like that man who's a jerk and that girl who is a hussy. They're not trying to fill up their belief pot. If I just believe, I won't be a hussy anymore. They are trying to mortify the flesh so the real them will walk every day. The real them will live every day. They'll see themselves by who they are, who God made them, not who man made them. That's why we pray in tongues. That's why we confess. Not to believe, but to walk in the belief that we already have. When I pray in tongues, I'm not filling my pot with believing power. I am pushing back the lie of my flesh. I am growing in who God already made me. But the reason I can believe is because I believed. I am His child. You won't find a more perfect man than the one you're seeing right here. Just ask my wife. No, don't ask my wife. That may seem foreign language to you, but you need to be talking like that. You need to be talking to yourself. I'm pure. I'm perfect. When I walk into the room, my Father is excited to see me. When I walk into the room, demons are a little nervous. Sickness is nervous. The people may see my flesh, but I am mortifying that sucker. But the real me is always, always accepted by God. Don't forget, even though we have different parts in the body, we have different jobs we're supposed to do. What we are supposed to do the same. Lay hands on the sick. See them recover. Cast out devils. Because if you believed and were born again, those are things that you will do. You don't have to wait. Start expecting things to happen now. If you're at work and someone coughs, tell them, hey, come on over here, I'll pray for you. Well, if it doesn't work, they won't care. Watch. Watch what God will do through you. Amen. Why don't you stand with me tonight? Thank you, Father. What are you standing for? What miracle? What change in circumstances? What is it tonight? I want to ask you just to receive tonight. Because of who you are, because of who God made you, I want to ask you to be bold and receive tonight. Maybe you prayed 1,000 times for something. Well, you're not praying for God to do anything anymore. He's already done it all. You're receiving what He's already done through the cross, through you. So whatever it is it your family? Is it your finances? Is it your health? Is it your calling, your future? Is it a struggle with sin or self-centeredness? Whatever it is. Your authority comes from who He made you the day you were born into His family. So when you're ready, just lift up your hands a little bit. Don't look up to heaven. Because He's not only in heaven, He's right here too. And whatever you are receiving tonight, expect it. And don't accept anything else anymore. Tonight's the night you receive it. It doesn't matter how long it takes. It's received tonight. Father, You're here with us. Your presence, the presence of God. We're supposed to have these things in our life. Because we're born again. So I don't accept this anymore. I don't allow it anymore in my life. And I receive from You because of what Jesus did on the cross. I receive that miracle now from You. I am not a slave to my flesh anymore. I'm not a slave to sin. I'm not a slave to sickness or poverty. The day I was born into Your family, I had power over all of those. But You've not left me alone. Thank You, Father. The altar is open if you'd like for me to pray. If you'd like to just come worship at the altar, you can. You're free to be released at this moment, at this time. And God bless you.